Exodus chapter 19. We've come all the way from Genesis into Exodus and up to chapter 19 thus far. Exodus chapter 19, verses 1 through 25. Now, Exodus should not be too hard to find. I feel ashamed to have to say this, but when Paul said turn to Ruth chapter 1, I never could find it, and I had to just put my Bible down and listen. I thought I knew where it was at, and when I turned to that spot, it wasn't there. So maybe somebody needs to get me a Bible with the tabs on it now. Exodus 19, 1 through 25 is the main context. I will read just one verse from Exodus chapter 19. I will read verse 24. Hopefully we'll see this congeal and come together as I go along. Exodus 19, verse 24. And the Lord said unto him, that is to Moses. Moses, one of very few men that God was allowed to approach and come up into the mount. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me hold my spot a minute. The Lord said unto him, that's Moses. Now I hope you realize that most of what we were taught, maybe not all of us, but most of what some of us were taught when we were younger is actually dead wrong. I was taught when I was younger, Moses went into the mount twice. He went up into the mount once, received the tables. Whenever Moses came back, they were having that big party. Moses crushed the tables, and then he goes back up in to get the second. That's just, Moses went up into the mountain back. Up into the mountain back. Up into the mountain back. And if you've actually read more than what I've asked you to read, you will see, wait a minute, Moses is bouncing back and forth on that mountain. Now, ain't he not? If you really read it, you'll see that. Most of us were taught, not all of us, but most of us were taught, the first time Israel ever heard the Ten Commandments is when Moses brought down the tablets. But that's not so. First of all, he broke the first set and went back and got a second set. But the Ten Commandments were sounded forth by God in verbal form from the mount when the people were at the bottom of the mount. I've been preaching for 34, 35 years now, trying to preach the gospel. And didn't even know that. Didn't even know that. Here it is. And the Lord said unto him, that is to Moses, away, get thee down. And thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee. But let not the priests and the people.
Yeah.
You see it? But let not the priests and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. Do not be deceived by modern day so-called Christianity. God cannot be approached in whatever way you want to approach him.
Exactly right.
That's one of the first things I begin to see when I read this. And this is just the prelude to the actual giving of the law. The law is not actually given until we read it in verse chapter 20, verse 1. And God spake all these words.
Yeah.
Not he wrote them down on tables of stone. He did that later.
Yes, sir.
It was actually written with the finger of God. Imagine that. Now why do we not have those tables today?
Yeah.
You know why? Because we as fallen sons and daughters of Adam, yet religious people, we'd be worshiping those tables.
Exactly right.
Just like our brothers and sisters of Israel worship Nehushtan, that brass serpent,
exactly,
on a pole.
Yeah.
Let me read you this verse. I think maybe some of you maybe realize why I chose 3:14 from our song book this morning. And I want to read you just one verse, and I want this to be on the tape. This is one of the verses of a song called Hell Sovereign Love. And I would guarantee you, I'd be willing to bet $100 and I'm not that big of a betting man, I hardly even buy scratch-off tickets. I'd be willing to bet you $100 that in most so-called churches, this song is not even known. But here's one verse of that song. Indignant justice stood in view to Sinai's fiery mount I flew. But justice cried with frowning face, this mountain is no hiding place.
Amen.
And yet, so-called Christianity tells everybody, run to the law.
Yep.
Keep the law.
Yeah.
They even have bumper stickers, and some of them with the little tablet with the Ten Commandments wrote on it, and they'll say, keep the law. God said, don't even come near the mount.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
God, through his representative, brought the commandments down.
Amen. That's it.
Do we dare approach Sinai? Even more than that,
yeah.
Do we dare approach God at Sinai?
There you go.
Dare we approach God by the law? Dare we approach God by our merits? Dare we approach God by our cleanliness? You remember reading that in this short prelude to the actual giving of the law? Cleanliness.
Yeah.
Our cleanliness. The answer resounds forth from Scripture. No! Do not approach this mountain trying to get to God. False religion, that which is under the influence of Antichrist. False religion says, but, well, maybe we don't need the law for salvation, but we need the law for sanctification. No.
Exactly.
But people need a law to live by, or they won't live right. Noah did not have this.
Exactly.
Sounded forth from Sinai,
right.
Nor on two tables of stone, did he?
Mm-hmm.
Yet he walked before God.
Yes, sir.
One of his predecessors, Enoch, did not have this law.
Exactly.
Yet it says he walked with God.
Amen.
Does it not? Mm-hmm. Abraham never had the law written in tables of stone. But yet Abraham believed God. You see, before even one commandment issues forth, we read here in our text that God pits his mercies against our merits.
Exactly.
Did you see that there? I said, even before one commandment issues forth, God pits his mercies against our merits. And you'll see that in chapter 19, verses 1 through 6. But the main verses are 4, 5, and 6. And let's read them together. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bear you on eagle's wings, look at it, and brought you unto myself.
Amen.
Now therefore, and this is not just a, okay, because I've said that, but this is a, in light of me saying that.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
In light of me, yeah. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice, indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. There he's talking about their merits. What they are going to be commanded to do. Now, which one do you want?
There you go. Yeah.
Which one do you want?
There you go.
I'll give men to pick.
Yeah.
Choose.
There you go.
Go ahead. Make a choice, because you will one way or the other.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Free will, so-called, notwithstanding, you're going to make a choice one way or the other. You are either going to say, God Almighty's got to conquer my enemies and bring me unto himself.
Yeah.
Or he says, here, do it. By yourself.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You see what he just said there?
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying again, before even one commandment issued forth, God pits his mercies against our merits.
Yeah.
When I read that, I thought, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Now, let me give you seven thoughts from Exodus chapter 19 mainly. Number one, see what God has done. Now look at the law and see what man must do.
There you go.
Do you want to be given God's mercy, or do you want to try to merit God's favor?
There you go. That's right.
You heard what I said? You can't merit His mercy.
No.
Those two things don't fit together.
Exactly.
Mercy by default means you're at odds against God, and He has to be merciful to you.
Exactly.
See what God has done. See what we must do if we are to merit making it to God. In light of that, think about this. Here's the second thing. Do we remember even the past 3 months?
Mm-hmm.
So what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Verse 1, in the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai, for they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. Now think about it. Then he says, I brought you out with a strong hand. That's basically what he's saying.
Amen.
I brought you to myself. Now I've got a covenant. And you got to keep it indeed.
Yeah.
Isn't that what he said? Now though he doesn't say so, he is saying to the people of Israel and saying to every one of us, which one do you want?
There you go.
Yeah. Now, if Israel were smart... But none of us are spiritually by nature.
That's it. Right.
If Israel were smart, if we were smart, we'd just remember the past 3 months of our lives.
Amen.
Huh?
Yeah.
How well have I kept God's law in the past 3 months?
Exactly.
And I know it now.
That's it.
I've had it given to me. I have a Bible that has it wrote down in it with all kinds of things said about it and explaining it. Telling me what it really means and what it says. Think of Israel. Keep my covenant. Indeed. My words. Indeed. They bellyached when God sent Moses to deliver them from Egypt.
Yes, sir.
They bellyached when they came to the Red Sea. Did they not?
Yes.
They bellyached when they came to the bitter waters. They bellyached when they couldn't find water later at all.
Yes, sir.
And then they misused the manna when God even gave them the manna. Did they not? And you want to keep this covenant God's about to announce from Sinai?
Exactly. That's it.
Hmm? Come on now.
Exactly.
Oh, God, help us all to be honest before Him.
Amen.
Oh, wretched man that I am. And I can say that any day.
Exactly. That's right.
Way back yonder before God saved me, and right now today after God saved me and I've been saved for 34, 35 years.
Amen.
God, I'm still a wretched man.
That's exactly right.
Because I know how much I murmur and complain and bellyache. That's number two. We're fallen sinners.
Yes, sir.
Our rebellion issues forth from our real problem down in here.
Yeah.
Down in here. Here's number three. Should this not rather drive me to God's mercies and not my own merit? Now, we all know this law, don't we? They hadn't heard it yet. Now, they're about to hear it. And God says, there's two options. My free, sovereign mercies, or your merit, one or the other.
There you go.
You see that there? I read this and I thought, wow. Wow. Should this not drive me to God's mercies and not to my own merit? Yet for some, it never does. For some, it has not yet. Sadly, most people hear the law and say, well, I'll give that a stab.
Yeah.
Right?
You're right.
I'll give that a stab. One young man, a rich young man, a sincere young man, a very respectful young man,
yeah,
go back and look at the context of it, came and bowed down to Christ worshiping Him and said, good master, what good thing might I do?
Yeah.
He already started off wrong.
Exactly.
He showed great respect for Christ.
Yes, sir.
But two things were wrong. He didn't know who Christ really was. He called Him good, but He didn't even know what real goodness was. Because Christ said, there's none good but God.
Yeah.
Why callest thou me good? Do you recognize I'm God? He did not. And secondly, he thought he could actually do good before God. And Christ told him to do what? Yeah. Somebody said, well, this is insincere from God, if that's really a choice between two. Oh, no. What did Christ tell that rich young ruler?
Yeah.
Keep the commandments.
Is
that not what he told him?
Amen.
Keep the commandments. And what did he say? Oh, God, I can't. Master, I can't. No, he said, well, I've done this since I was a young fella. Did he not?
That's what he said. Yes, sir.
And long story short is that he went away sorrowful.
Yes, sir.
Because Christ then hit him, he's still under law, right where it really hurts, in his pocketbook.
Exactly. There you go.
You give everything you've got and you sell it to the poor and you take up your cross and follow me. And he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Christ proved to him his possessions meant more to him than God's holy law.
Exactly. That's it.
Hmm? Although we still have every reason to think he was probably a very moral young man. And number four. In light of number three, should this not drive me to God's mercies and not my merit? It will never do that to me as I am by nature. And this is not going to be some new doctrine. Joe, there is but one doctrine. Turn to Romans chapter 3 and we'll see why. Romans chapter 3. We'll begin at verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? Is the Jew really better than the Gentile? The Jew had advantage over Gentile.
Yes, sir.
But here's the question now. Are they better?
Yeah.
What then? Are we better than they? No. And then it's like a double thing.
Yeah.
No ought to be enough. But it's never for us, is it?
Right.
No, in no wise, for we have before proved. So I ain't here to debate this.
Exactly.
I ain't here to debate this. It's already been proven. I'm just declaring what's been proven already.
Amen.
No, in no wise, for we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, and he refers back to what? Not his philosophy, not his upbringing, which was under the law, was it not? This man who wrote this epistle? A great legalist.
Yes, sir.
Mason, to say the least. He said of himself, when it come to my equals, I stood head and shoulders above everybody.
That's right.
You know what he basically said? No, as it is written, there is none righteous, not even one single one. There is none that they don't even understand.
Amen.
And folks, when most people read the law, it's clear they don't understand.
Exactly.
They don't get what the law is saying to them.
You're right.
They're at best like that rich young ruler. There is none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. You can't even find one profitable thing if you loop this all together.
Yeah.
That's pretty strong language, isn't it? But that's God's language.
Yes, sir.
As it is written. This is what God says about us.
Amen.
They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one.
Amen.
When you give to the Shriners Crippled Children's Hospital, if you do, and I'm not telling you not to, even though it's a bunch of Shriners that do a lot of decent things for a lot of needy children, do they not? But if you give to that for any other reason than the glory of Jesus Christ and His gospel, it's sin.
Exactly.
How many times do you do something like that, but then you just wish somebody else knew you did it?
There you go.
Huh? Now come on. Or it just burns inside you that, boy, I'd like to tell somebody I gave them $50. Even if you don't, that's still sin. It's pride. You watch some of these commercials asking you to give to really decent causes. And what do they say? Oh, they plead. It's so psychological and emotional. And then they'll say something like this: it'll make you feel real good about yourself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's why we do most of it.
Exactly. You're right.
Now, I'm glad God's got a lot of people out there that do it, even for their own reasons. He's still taking care of little children sick with cancer.
Yes, sir.
In spite of the evil and the wicked and the pride and everybody else. Aren't you glad our God's sovereign?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Ain't you glad our God's sovereign? Now, I'm not here preaching for the Shriners Crippled Children Hospital either. Look at it. Their throat is an open sepulcher. I've never done it, but you ever walked up to an open grave where the body, the corpse is laying there rotten? That's what he's talking about. Take a big smell. I know you've been going down the road and a beast be lying there dead on the road in the hot sun. You ever just do it over there and say, I like that. And if you do, you're sick. But God is saying that's what we're like by nature to Him. With their tongues they have used deceit. Oh, an unruly evil. Did not James say we've tamed big ships and animals with a small bridle, big old ship with a small helm, little small, that big old ship. But we cannot tame what? Why? Because that tongue is connected to me inside.
Exactly.
And out of the abundance of the heart, the tongue yaps. Their throats an open sepulcher, with their tongues they've used deceit. The poison of a snake is under their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Well, I never said a curse word. He ain't talking about curse words. We're talking about you cursing God.
There you go, exactly.
You bragging on yourself is you cursing God, because He's the only one that's good in all that there is.
Yes. Amen.
Their feet are swift to shed blood. Remember the last guy cut you off in traffic? If you thought you could have got away with it, you'd have bashed his brains in. Huh? Now maybe all of you ain't like that. Some of us are. Feet are swift to shed, but destruction and misery are in their ways. And that ain't talking about, paychecks are hard to come by. That ain't what that's talking about. Destruction and misery. Everything we touch, we defile. The way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God. Even an animalistic base fear or reverence, either one.
Exactly.
A lot of people fear hell, but they don't fear God.
Yeah.
There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know. We know. Some people know. Some people don't. Oh, God, give them that knowledge.
Amen.
Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. Why? God's law tells you shut up.
Amen.
Don't brag about yourself. Don't brag about your merits. Don't brag about you meriting God's favor. It saith to them that are under the law that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty. Guilty before God.
Amen.
You see, there are folks I see and deal with, and sometimes I say, well, those are pretty decent folk. And they may be compared to other folk. But God does not compare us to one another. He compares us to Himself and His holy law. And we don't cut the muster, folks.
Exactly.
We don't cut the muster. This ought to drive me to God's mercies.
Yes, sir.
To God's mercies. But by nature, it does not. Does it? It does not. Here's number five. By nature, we will not and cannot plead this coming statement. I said, by nature, we will not and cannot. And somebody says, well, which comes first? It don't matter. They're like this.
Yeah.
Scott Richardson, the late pastor from Katy Baptist Church in Fairmont, West Virginia, used to say, if you will, you can. If you can, you will.
Amen.
Because will not and cannot are like this. They're just two sides of the same coin, you might say.
Yeah. You're right.
By nature, we will not and cannot plead. God help me. God be merciful to me. I can't keep your words indeed.
Amen.
I cannot obey your voice indeed. I cannot keep your covenant. I cannot merit being a particular treasure before you.
Yeah.
I know the earth is all yours, and I am too. And like the one old gal said, Lord, I'm just a dog.
Amen.
But I want to be your dog.
Amen.
Isn't that what she said?
Amen.
That Syrophoenician woman? Lord, I'm just a dog. He called her a dog. And she said, truth, Lord.
Amen.
That's a whole lot different than that rich young ruler. Is it not? She said, truth, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table.
Amen.
I am your dog.
That's it. Amen.
By nature, we will not and cannot plead, God help me. I cannot obey and keep. And what does God do when we so boast, when we don't have that ability to plead God's mercy, to cry out for God's mercy? What does God do when we so boast? Look at, is there boasting? Oh, we often do. Look at it, verse 8. And the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Oh, what dangerous ground for you and I to stand on.
Exactly.
Remember the past 3 months?
Yeah.
I mean, how soon we forget what we really are.
Yeah.
We're like the man before holding his face in a mirror. And we see it for a little while, but as soon as we turn away, we forget what it looks like.
Exactly.
We forget. Now look at verse 9. Verse 8. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. Now, the Lord already knew what they said.
Yeah.
He knew what they were going to say before they even said it.
Exactly.
But that's not the point here. Moses went to God and said, here's what they said, God. And the Lord said unto Moses, lo, now, here's the choice. They've chosen their own merits.
Yeah.
Have they not?
Yeah.
They've chosen to hear and obey his voice indeed and to keep his covenant.
Yeah.
That's what they just said. And the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever. And he really means that.
Yeah.
But look, and Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. Now let's just stop there for a moment. Here's number 6. God then demands even elementary perfection. You hear what I just said? I'm sure there's probably better words, but that my limited intellect, that's the best I can come up with. God then demands even elementary perfection. But he clearly shows that he demands full separation by law.
Yes, sir.
You say, what are you talking about? Well, let's read what it says. Verse 10. And we'll go all the way down through verse 15. The Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people. Remember? All that you said, God, we'll do it.
Yeah.
Oh, God, help us when we say that. The Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow and let them wash their clothes. What's that got to do with anything? When you read that, did you think, well, what's this matter?
Yeah.
Could you not come to God if you got dirty clothes on? Do you got to take a bath physically first? Well, some, I guess, believe you have to be dunked in the water. You Campbellites. And be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. Well, that don't sound too bad so far, right? We can do that. Right? Right?
Oh, yeah.
I can wash my clothes. I can start going to church. I can sing in the choir. I can go witness to people. I can give to good philanthropic causes. I can give to the church. Go on and on. I can do that. But we're not done yet. Oh, wait a minute. God's not done yet.
Exactly. Yeah.
And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourself. Now, even when you've cleansed your clothes.
That's right.
You smell good now.
Yeah.
There you go. You see? Thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves that you go not up into the mountain. Well, ain't we supposed to come to God? Not just any old way, you're not.
Right.
or touch the border of it. Whosoever touches the mount shall surely be put to death. There shall not a hand, a clean hand.
There you go.
Right? There shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. Huh? Wait a minute, God. God can't say things like that. He just did. Now you approach me, but I will set limits.
That's exactly.
And what he just said? We're going to put up the red caution tape. Now, I know I'm being metaphorical here. The red caution, and you touch it. Bash your brains in. Is that what it says? If you touch it. Oh, my dog. He puts his paw on it.
That's right.
Hmm?
That's it.
Is that what God's just said? That's the Sinai covenant, folks.
Yes, sir. Exactly.
And Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. They're still ready to roll, ain't they?
Yes, sir.
Huh? Look. And he said unto the people, And he said to the people, be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives.
Yeah.
Now, we're not going into what that, but you know what that means, right?
Yeah.
Now, listen to me now. Consider here. One, we are filthy.
Yeah.
We are filthy.
Yes.
That's what God's telling them here.
Yes, sir.
You're filthy. And even if you clean yourselves up, if you just do one normal, natural thing, come at your wife, you've defiled yourself already. You see what he's saying here? He's giving Mason just a natural thing, a couple natural things. Do that. Cleanse. Clean up. But don't you touch your wives. See that? We are filthy. Even our clothes and our most intimate deeds are what? Filthy, 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 filthy rags in God's sight.
Amen.
Filthy rags in God's sight. Sinai. Here's this thing. God demands even elementary perfection, but he demands full separation by law.
Yes, sir.
Here's the second thing under this, number six. Sinai, that is the law, screams, stay away from God.
Yeah.
Isn't that what it screams? It says, come near, but stay away.
That's right.
That's what it says, then. You approach, but don't you touch. You see? Why? Because there's a lesson here to be learned by the law. It's not about how you get to God.
There you go.
It's how you're in absolute need of someone else to bring you there.
Amen.
And God's already reminded them, I got to be the one to do it.
Yes, sir.
Has he not? Somebody said, boy, you people just find the gospel everywhere. That's exactly right. I do. Bless God, I find the gospel everywhere. Think about this. Here's another thing. Here's a third point under number six. And I want to try to keep the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, there you go.
Huh? And I will try to keep the Ten Commandments. Look at what it says. Let's go on, verse 16. Okay, I want to keep the ten. Now, as we will see, there are far more than ten. The 10 basically to summarize all the others. They say 600 and some, whatever it is. I'm not even going to start to try to count it. I'm not able to do that because some one commandment may have two or three different parts to it.
Yeah.
Be that as it may. Look at what it said, verse 16. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning. Remember, this is the day when what? They're supposed to come up to the mount.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings. The other day I was coming home from Lowe's and I had to buy an air conditioner. And I had the air conditioner in the back of the truck. And I was just hoping, God, don't let it pour the rain before I get home to ruin my brand new air conditioner. It's even still in the box.
Yeah.
And I'm heading down Oakville Mountain and I look over toward Kellysville and here's this big bolt of lightning and I see rain just dancing down. That made me uneasy. Why? Because I'm so selfish, I knew I had to drive into that thunderstorm with my daggone air conditioner in the back of the truck. That was just one little storm, Joe, and one bolt of lightning.
Exactly.
Think about this. Thunders and lightnings.
Amen.
And a thick cloud upon the mount and the voice of the trumpet. This is not God playing a good jazz on the trombone or with the saxophone.
Yeah.
No, this is a loud trumpet issuing forth from God on this fiery mount.
Yes, sir.
Exceeding loud. I can only imagine it.
Yeah. There you go.
So that all the people that was in the camp trembled. But I'm telling you, folks, they still didn't get it. Because as a natural man or woman, you ain't going to get it unless God Almighty regenerates you first.
Amen.
Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the nether part. I just like that. They stood at the nether. Did they rush forward?
Not exactly.
I wasn't rushing forward toward that one bolt of lightning and that one little downpour. They stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace. And the whole mount quaked greatly. There was a major earthquake taking place. I've only been in one, and it was a little bitty one. And I was in a daggone Free Will Baptist church. Would have happened, I thought the world was coming to an end. Big old tall building with tall walls so tall, they didn't have trusses back then, so they had big cables that held one wall to the other. And I seen those cables bow, and them walls give. I was just a little fella. I thought judgment was come. This don't even touch that. You know, I mean, that what I went through in that church, but don't even touch this. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long, I mean, that's like, huh?
Yeah.
And waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice.
Amen.
And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai, the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze. No, just to gaze.
Yeah.
We are very religiously inquisitive people.
Yeah.
And we will rush headlong into the death of God Almighty. Do you know that?
Yeah.
Apart from His grace, apart from His restraint. So that, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. Let the priests also, which come near to the Lord, sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And you want to keep the Ten Commandments.
There you go.
Because the Ten Commandments came from that mount.
Yes, sir. That's right.
And all of that trouble and trumpet and lightnings and thunders still are carried right along with those Ten Commandments.
Yes, sir.
You understand that?
Yeah.
Somebody, was God trying to keep them away? According to law, yes. But you touch this mount, you're a dead man.
Amen.
You touch this mount, you're a dead woman.
Amen.
Here's the last part of number 6. Here's a thought just to consider. The law never allows for mere emotional sincerity. Did you hear what I said? You say, well, where'd that come from? Well, turn to Hebrews, if you wish, to follow along. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. The law never allows for emotional sincerity. The law's not there for you and I even to be inquisitive about. Well, let me figure out a way to do this. You can't do it. But look at it. This is, Hebrews 12. 14, verse 14, just for a little context. Follow peace with all and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And that's true. That's true. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. That is, unless somebody thinks they got it, really don't. That's what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Lest looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of change. He couldn't change how he really felt.
There you go.
More than that, he couldn't change who he really was.
Exactly.
He found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears.
Amen.
I thought everybody just cries before God. Everybody just cries. You just feel really bad about this. Everything will be okay. That's not so.
Exactly.
You say, that ain't nothing to do with law. The writer of Hebrews says it does.
Yes.
Even though the law hadn't been given yet.
That's right.
Now, I didn't pick this out of my hat. It was here.
Yeah.
Now, look at what it says. Four, verse 18. Mm-hmm. For you're not come unto the mount that might be touched. You see that? Now, when I first read this, that's an odd place to put that.
Yeah.
But the writer is showing us here, I don't care how sincere you are.
Exactly.
You either get to God God's way or you don't get to God at all. See Esau.
Amen. That's right.
You see it? Mm-hmm. For you're not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that word should not be spoken unto them anymore. And yet everybody wants to hear the Ten Commandments and just put a good stab at trying to do them. They don't really see Sinai, folks.
Exactly.
They don't really see Sinai. Look, for they could not endure that which was commanded.
Amen.
And neither can you and I. Neither can you up there either. Listen to me on TV. They could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it was stoned or thrust through with a dart. Now, am I drawing something? Is this talking exactly about our context?
Yes,
it
sir.
Is, ain't it?
That's exactly right.
And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. You ain't come that way. And let me just tell you, I'm not adding to it. You can't come that way.
Amen.
Exodus 19 tells us clearly, the red caution, or the yellow caution takes up, don't come this way. God will kill you.
That's exactly right.
God will kill you. But, aren't you glad there's some buts in there?
Yes, sir.
Hmm? But ye are come unto Mount Zion. Now, before I even read it, I thought, why did he start there? Because he's not starting at the most important part. He's working his way to the most important part.
Yes, sir. That's right.
I thought, why start there? Because he's working his way to the most important part. But notice he puts all these parts here. Well, I come to Jesus, but I don't go to church. That ain't what this school say.
That's exactly right.
Well, I come to Jesus, but I don't have to gather with God's people. That ain't what this school say. Well, I believe in all the doctrines of grace, and I'm a believer in God. Well, I never pray, I never read my Bible. I never give to the gospel ministry. But, you know, I come to Jesus. Hmm? Now, is that what this says? Look at it. Now, I hope you see where I'm coming from. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. There is another Jerusalem, folks.
Yes, sir.
Jerusalem, which is below, is under bondage and will remain that way.
Yes, that's right.
Heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels,
amen,
to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. In other words, those who do come to Christ,
yes,
they also come to God's people.
Amen.
Is that not what this is saying?
Yes, sir.
Yes or no? That's what it's saying. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to the God, the judge of all, they will come to him who's sovereign over all things, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. We do love the saints. Now, we don't worship them, but we love those who are already gone on.
Yes, sir.
And we are waiting to meet them one day.
Yes, sir.
Are we not?
Yeah.
Are we not?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, it ain't about going home to see Mama. But bless God, I hope to see Mama there.
Yeah.
But look, and to Jesus. Now he's been right back to the source. Here's the foundation. Because you could have all these other things in your thoughts. You might think you've come unto all these other places and things and people. But if you don't come to him, you've missed it all. You know what I'm saying? And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. But don't take it for granted. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. There is a voice to hear. But it's not Sinai's voice. It's Christ's voice. And I'll tell you where you will find that voice. Right here. We have his actual words recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, don't we?
Yes, sir.
I want to hear Christ speak. Well, read this book.
There you go.
Read this book. For if they escape not who refused him that spoke on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more, I will shake not the earth only, but I'm going to shake heaven also. But also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, and that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. I want to be one of those things. Don't you? I want to be one of those things. Why? Because... it's not about merit, because I've come to Jesus.
Yeah.
I've come to him as the mediator of the new covenant.
Yes, sir.
I've come and said, God, unless the blood of your Son has covered me, unless that's made me clean, what, blood making clean? In God's sight, yes.
Amen.
A filthy creature like us must be cleansed by blood,
amen,
not by water. You hear me? Yet once more, signal of the removing. And things that remain. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. If you're still waiting to get into the kingdom, then you're never going to see any kingdom to come.
There you go.
Because you're either going to receive the kingdom that is right now.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the important part of that kingdom? What's the most important part of any kingdom?
Yeah.
Anybody want to answer that? The king. If you ain't got a king, bless God, you ain't got nothing but desert and sand and people and ignorance and everything else. The king!
Amen.
Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably. There is some action here, folk.
Yes, sir.
It ain't just I believe in sovereign grace and I'm just waiting for the book to be opened and my name to be found in the Lamb's Book of Life. It don't work that way. Whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear.
Amen.
Why? Because Sinai tells us a little bit about who God is.
Exactly.
We read it. Almost all of it. Exodus chapter 19. For our God is a consuming fire. Now he either consumed our sins in the person and work of his Son, or he'll condemn our sins and he'll consume them eternally in ourselves in the lake of fire.
There you go.
Now I say, what's your choice?
There you go.
I don't mind to say it. To what will you come? To what will you look? To whom will you look? Will you look to yourself? Or will you look to Jesus Christ?
Amen.
You know, Joe, it's that simple. But it's that impossible apart from the free, reigning, sovereign grace of God.
Amen.
Is it not?
Yeah.
Mesa, would